Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
I agree.
Their second best player is Ervis Solarte. I mean, come on.
Solarte.
They are...
Never nervous. Yang Ervis. City is dead. The stadium is dead. And then an hour later, I'm horned. Yankee Magic. I'm running through walls.
As we always say, you know, the board is the board.
It's the truth.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. The fall weather is hitting us very nicely, and I'm very excited to feel the fall and feel the moments of football all around us, really. And it is nice to know, now that we're about a year and a half into it, that that the NFL is now a big part of the city again, and in keeping with the theme of the NFL in Los Angeles, I'm excited to share with you guys that I'm gonna go to a game. Like, I went to a game last year, but this year I'm gonna go to a game at the Coliseum. I will be at tomorrow's Vikings Rams game on Thursday Night Football. And it'll be today's game once you get to the podcast, but the Thursday night game this week, it's going to be great. I can't wait to check that out. Go there with Floyd Merriweather from the board, and I'll report on some of the findings there as we continue. Thanks again to Tom in New Jersey for joining us last week on a well, it was a very fun show. Like, we went for quite a while. We did a lot of random questions type stuff after the picks, and having him and Andy. On the program was a good time, and we talked a lot of baseball in that second hour. So I recommend it if you didn't listen to it before. Check it out on the DidCow feed wherever you find your Apple Podcasts or what have you. This week we got a new guest picker. Joining us on the air is John in Connecticut. Andy and Ron are both on assignment, so they will be unavailable to make it on the air tonight. But hopefully they'll come back next week. And in the meanwhile, they'll send the picks via the text. And we will get into all the games tonight, not only the ones from last week, but the ones coming up this week. Last week was just very, very chaotic. It was crazy, and we got to get to it now. I mean, just a huge meltdown in the Pac-12, and then in the NFL, some real surprises of their own. The Giants go out and beat the Texans. The Lions dominate the Patriots. The best team in the NFL might be right under my nose. And the Browns won a game! Stop the presses! Let's hit it! Football picks, week 5. Good to get back in the mix. It wasn't just a rebound for the Browns. It was also a rebound for our panel. We all did much better last week. Andy in Seattle had the best week, winning the week at 3-1. And in second place was me, Dave, in the city at 2-2. John went 2-1-1, and Ron went 1-2-1 last week. These are looking like NFL records. 1-2-1 and 2-1. That was pretty good. It's a good spot. And Tom in New Jersey in guest picks went 3-1. Very nice. So the standings after 4 weeks. John is in first place at 6-6-2. Ron is in second place at 6-7-1. Dave is in third place at 6-8. And Andy is in last place, but much better than 2-8 this time, 5-9. So the guest picks, on top of all this, are 9-5 this year, anchored to an extent by Tom in New Jersey's nice picks from week number 4. Now we continue it and try to keep it continue with this contest. So let's bring in our panel. And joining us now on the air, back from a nice trip to Las Vegas and some other scenarios, it's John in Connecticut. How, John? How's it going tonight?
Doing well, Dave. Good to be back. It was certainly an interesting weekend of games, so we'll have to. And I actually got one right with the Lions. I think I was the only one to take them in that spread, that pick. So when I get one right, which is a surprise these days, I'll pat myself on the back for that one. But yeah, it was a good week, and glad to be back on to discuss all the action with you.
Yeah, definitely. Good to have you back, John. And it was a good job out of you sniffing that out, because I thought that was pretty smelly, that line. I mean, you know, the Patriots who got shut down by the Jaguars giving 6.5 on the road like that. I didn't know about that either. I didn't play it, but I did think that was very suspicious. As was the Bills line, and I'll talk about that in the NFL portion of our show. I mean, that was ridiculous, that line. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, let's go bring in our guest picker, and he is Yachts, who now would be known as John in Orlando, which, by the way, is the home of UCF, who's having another good start to their season. I saw them beat up Florida Atlantic. That was a nice game. That was a good game. But anyway, John, a.k.a. Yachts, welcome back. How's it going, man? I saw you yesterday, actually, here in L.A. That's funny. Just look at that.
Yeah. Hey, gentlemen. What's up? Dave, just fresh off from seeing you in person, landed back here not too long ago, and here I am.
Look at that. Yeah. So, you know, John, I mean, Yachts was and Yachts and I were doing some catch up, talking about board stuff. So I was filling him in on what little juice we have on the board lately. It was a good time. So yeah, it's good to catch up with you, John. So let's get to the football stuffs, and we'll start with college. And again, this was an incredible week in the Pac-12, and it, you know, you were hoping that a game between Oregon and Stanford would live up to the hype, and it really did. But what a gut-wrenching loss for the Ducks. I mean, they were up 17 points. They could have gone up 24 points late in the third quarter, basically with about a minute to go. It's just an incredibly crushing loss to go from that to losing the game in overtime. I'm not going to say too much about it yet because I want to give it to John for the recap. That, and then Old Dominion goes out and beats Virginia Tech. That is an enormous upset. I couldn't believe it. And then my beloved Tulane Green Wave ends up getting tsunamied by Ohio State, so I obviously didn't get that one right. So, John, let's get the recap of last week's action. It was just unbelievable stuff. So, your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Oregon could not have butchered the end of that game any worse. I mean, if you watch the Pac-12 after dark game, Arizona State and Washington, now their coaching staff knows how to manage a clock at the end of the game. They had Jake Browning, you know, taking knees and then like taking a snap and shotgun and then running around basically and then taking another knee because they knew how much time they had to run out on the clock. And that's what Oregon easily could have done instead of running these stupid plays. And eventually the guy stretches for the first down and fumbles the ball, and the rest we know is history. Stanford makes the epic comeback. I missed the play earlier in the game where it could have been 31-7 Oregon, and I guess they overturned it, and then Stanford ends up getting a touchdown to make it 24-14, and that was another huge swing. But
yeah,
their coach, Cristobal, just completely just butchered that sequence. I mean, he could have taken some knees, you know, had the quarterback run around a little bit, and then punted with like 10 seconds left. And then we know Stanford's offense isn't going 80 yards in 10 seconds. They would have to have done one of those crazy lateral-type plays, which is not going to work. So just a devastating loss. And they played great, too, throughout the entire game. I mean, their quarterback, Herbert, he definitely lives up to the hype as one of the top prospects. He was like 23 of 27 or something like that before overtime. And he had a fantastic game, and just all for naught, really. And, you know, Stanford nibbles, as Andy would like to say, and they survive and sets up a huge game with Notre Dame this week, two top 10 teams. So yeah, that was just a terrible job out of Oregon. Some of the other games. Yeah, Dave, you mentioned Old Dominion, and where the heck did this come from? 28 point underdogs. I mean, I get, you know, they're home. I get it. So, you know, it's kind of one of those deals where the kids that are playing at Old Dominion weren't quite good enough, I guess, to get into Virginia Tech or recruited by Virginia Tech. I guess there's kind of a mini, like, edge on chip on their shoulder kind of thing there. But who would have ever thought that they would give up 49 points? Old Dominion just, like, inserted this freshman quarterback, and he threw for 495 yards and four touchdowns. If you saw the highlights of the game, their running back was just running through the Vatech defense. The vaunted Bud Foster defense gives up, like, over 600-something yards to Old Dominion. The most stunning result in years in college football. you could have never predicted Old Dominion winning that game. And that, maybe like a low-scoring slugfest kind of game with Vodtech having a lot of turnovers, maybe you could talk yourself into Old Dominion winning. But putting up over 600 yards of offense and winning like that, that's just unheard of. And, you know, that's just a dreadful loss for Vodtech, obviously, and just kills their chances at anything doing anything national this year. You know, maybe they could win their division. Who knows? But past that, they're not doing anything. The other big upset of the week was Texas Tech, who completely obliterated Oklahoma State. And this is after Texas Tech looked horrible the opening week against Ole Miss. There was all same old Texas Tech, no defense, all offense. Well, they finally figured out their defense apparently, and this new quarterback they put in the second game against Houston, Alan Bowman, he looks awesome, and they just steamrolled Oklahoma State, and now they could be contenders in the Big 12, and they got a huge game against West Virginia this week. So that was a great win for them. Kentucky is now ranked. I mean, this is crazy. You have Duke and Kentucky both ranked in the top 25. You'd think it might be basketball season, but no, it's only the end of September here. Kentucky with a great defensive performance against Mississippi State. Benny Snell's one of the better running backs in the country, and they just completely shut down Mississippi State's offense. And you know, a great win for them. So they're 4-0 now. That's a surprise start to the year. And then you had the near upset of Army and Oklahoma. This game was crazy because Oklahoma had the ball for literally like 12 minutes or 15 minutes the entire game. Army just went on, you know, 10 play drives, 12 play drives, and just played keep away, were incredibly efficient, and really had a chance to win at the end of the game. They had the ball and got into Oklahoma territory and then just really couldn't – they just kind of stalled at the 40-yard line. They had gotten a couple more first downs. They would have kicked a field goal to win the game, and that would have just been even more of a stunning upset than what happened to Vodtech and Old Dominion. But obviously the game went into overtime, and Oklahoma made some plays to win. But that was just crazy. And I guess the craziest part of this whole thing is the game wasn't even on TV. I mean, you have freaking 70 games a week on TV. You could watch, you know, UTEP and New Mexico State on TV, but you couldn't watch Army Oklahoma. It was like a $55 pay-per-view.
That is unbelievable.
Event. I had no idea.
I had no idea about that. I thought they'd at least be on Fox Sports Go or something.
No, nothing. I guess the Big 12 has some sort of third tier or fourth tier rights where every team in the conference has one game like this a year, but you'd figure they'd use it on like an FCS school and not against, you know, Army, which is a national, you know, program, obviously. But yeah, so I ended up watching it through one of those, you know, illegal Chinese streams. So hopefully the government doesn't come after me. But, you know, the streams I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
You pop it up if you're, but yeah, I mean, that's how I ended up watching it. A lot of people were watching it through some guy on, like on Twitter or Twitch or whatever they call it. It was like putting his phone up to the TV and like 55,000 people were watching it on there, I guess. So it's a crazy, crazy situation with that. But yeah, that was an interesting dynamic to that game. For the other top 25 action, I mean, you had Purdue beating Boston College, so that kind of ruins their hot start there. You know, kind of a fraud team, I guess, BC. I know some of us here have been kind of fans on them, but they kind of throws a little cold water on their start. Michigan just destroyed Nebraska. It's going to be a long year for Scott Frost. I think, you know, he wasn't left with much, so I'm not going to be too harsh on him. It's just a year one reset kind of situation. And then Texas again. Tom Herman is an underdog, is a winner. They beat TCU. Wisconsin comes back and beats Iowa and keeps their season alive. Let's see. That's pretty much it in the top 25. I mean, Alabama and Georgia did what they had to do. No one really, nothing much to say about that. And yeah, Urban Meyer was a douche like usual, and got that last touchdown to beat the spread against you, Dave. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I knew that. You know, I was watching that score, and they were covering, yeah, like basically the whole game until the end, and just very, very Franklin-esque that touchdown at the end of the game. Which is fitting because they're gonna play. Well, we'll get to that. But we'll get to that. I know that. Oh well, I had the right idea though. I mean, obviously, when you're covering, you know, 4/5 of the game, you tend to think you're onto something. So, I mean, 37 points. It took a while, but yes, Ohio State did cover eventually. And no one
I think that just, and then this is just me being a bitter degenerate, but what happened? What is going on with Arkansas, John? I mean, they were hanging in there a little bit, but even they couldn't hang on to a 30-point cover, and they lost by like 31 or something like that. That was a mess.
I was gonna say, let me tell you something about that game, Dave. Because if you look at I'm serious, because I was considering picking against Auburn this week. One of my picks. I'm not going to, but if you look at the box score for that game, you would be. Did you take Arkansas with the spread?
I did. I took them plus 30. And
well, they outgained Auburn by like 80 yards. They had 290 yards, and Auburn had 220. So if you look at the score, it's like how did they cover by 30 points? Well, because special teams is part of the game. Auburn had like a kick return for a touchdown. There's a blocked punt that set up another easy touchdown. A turnover that set up an easy touchdown. So if you just looked at the total yards, I mean, Arkansas pretty much outplayed Auburn, but just because of special teams and whatever mistakes, that's how you get the 34-3 score. And Auburn is not good at all. I almost was thinking of picking against them this week. They're giving like almost 4 touchdowns to Southern Miss. I do not like that team at all at the moment. But I digress. I'll stay away from that. But that's a pretty bad beat if you had Auburn plus 30 there.
Oh,
that,
man.
Yeah, that's rough.
That is. It's a 2 bad beats for the Cal on Saturday. So, all right, no worries. Well, we'll rebound it this week. I got some really interesting lines that I'd like to run by you, too, when we do our preview. But first, let's go to Yachts, whose beloved Michigan Wolverines had a very dominant game against Nebraska. And I think I and maybe even Ron and maybe you too, John, jumped the gun a bit with Nebraska. I thought they were going to show some signs of improvement. But actually, I think their situation is closer to UCLA's situation, where Frost is going to need another year to recruit the talent that he wants to win. Yeah, they just don't have it. Like, that's just not a good team. Like, I just finally came to that conclusion when they were down like 3 touchdowns in the first quarter in Michigan. So, John, I'll give it to you for the recap. If you saw that game, I'm not sure if you did, but
no. I'm probably not the best guy to discuss college football with at this point, especially this week, because I was in L.A. and I was getting my Manny Machado bobblehead on Saturday,
right.
So I did not see 1 second of college football this week. And I've not watched much at all for the season. But what I would say about Michigan is talk to me when they win a big, you know, when they win in the big spot, as
right.
Dog would like to say, right?
Right.
When
right.
they do that, talk to me. Until then, you know, we've been down this road before, so I'll just leave it at that.
That is fair. That is totally fair.
We play Michigan State in a few weeks, I believe, and it's a home game. So go win that game,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Beat Ohio State for once. They play Wisconsin soon, too, I think, in a couple of weeks,
right.
And that one's in Wisconsin. Go win that game. Do stuff like that, and then we can talk.
I think it's a very fair point, definitely. So as we look towards that season later on, we'll look at towards the weekend ahead. And we look at the featured games for college football this week. I don't think there are a ton of them. There's probably like 2. No, I'll say 3. I'll be generous. I'll go with the Notre Dame game as one of them. It starts early in the afternoon. We have West Virginia against Texas Tech. And as John was talking about, Tech has certainly risen from the dead and put together some pretty good wins. But, you know, I tell you, I don't trust them. But we'll get to that later. Stanford-Notre Dame's another game that's coming on in the evening. It's a good matchup. I think Stanford coming off the big, scummy but big win against Oregon with a very talented offense against Notre Dame's talented defense. That should be an interesting matchup. But the big game on Saturday, clearly Ohio State at Penn State. Penn State's going to bring everything for this one. And you know it's 2 coaches that love to run up the score. I mentioned Franklin. Urban Meyer's back too. So, you know, that's as big a matchup as you're going to get in the Big Ten. It's a big game. So I'm looking forward to that. BYU and Washington is in the Pac-12 After Dark slot. And you also have Oregon at Cal, and how is Oregon going to pick up the pieces after blowing that game? Wow. What a mess. So those are the featured games. I mean, there's really not a bunch of great games, but those games are pretty good. So let's go to John and let's get your preview of this week's action.
Yeah, those are three pretty good games right there. You mentioned West Virginia, Texas Tech earlier. It's kind of the Mongo coaches matchup with Holgorsen versus Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, you never know what to expect from these guys. You know, like you said, Dave, Texas Tech kind of just pulled their season from the ashes. They rose like a phoenix, as we would say, after that week one loss to Ole Miss. Put in the new quarterback, and now they look like a fantastic team. They got some guys back on defense, and they're playing great football right now. West Virginia really hasn't been tested too much. I mean, if you want to call Tennessee a test, I mean, they handled them pretty good the first week of the season, and you know, and nothing really since. They actually had a game against North Carolina State that would have been very interesting, but that was canceled, obviously, due to the hurricane that came through 2 weeks ago. So don't know what to make of this game. If you're picking this one, you know, good for you, because I can't get a handle on it. If I had to choose, I'd probably go with the home dog with Tech, just because, you know, West Virginia, you kind of play against them on the road in the Big 12, and then you play on them at home. But, you know, I'm not going to pick this one as part of my official selections here. Yeah, and then the games at night, Notre Dame and Stanford. You know, Stanford got away with highway robbery, as we discussed last week, against Oregon. But, you know, this is kind of what they do. They just kind of hang around and nibble, and they get the win. But I think Notre Dame's defense probably will be too tough for them here. I mean, Bryce Love, for all of his, you know, all the hype he got before the season, he has really not had a good year at all. And it's been their quarterback, Costello, that's been playing some great football, just throwing the ball up to Arcega Whiteside pretty much. It's just a great connection those two have had, and really keeping Stanford afloat. But I think Notre Dame, they made the quarterback switch to Ian Book the other day. I had picked Wake Forest is one of my selections here last week. I thought they could, you know, play a close game. Notre Dame's offense had looked pretty terrible in games against Ball State and Vanderbilt, and then they just come out and completely destroy Wake Forest with Ian Book, and you know, they look pretty good. And I think going back home against a Stanford team that just a little shaky for most of that game against Oregon, and obviously we know how they pulled it out, but I just like Notre Dame in this game. The spread's a little more than what you would like, 5.5. I'd feel a little better if it was like 3, but you know, I think Stanford will win this one. I'm sorry, Notre Dame will win this one, you know, and with under 10 points on Saturday night. And then obviously Penn State, Ohio State. Yeah, two coaches here. I mean, you could call this the douchebag bowl. I don't know, between Franklin and Urban Meyer. Who knows? I mean, both teams are extremely explosive on offense. You got Haskins and Dobbins and Weber and all these guys for Ohio State. And, of course, McSorley and their new running back that replaced Barkley, Miles Sanders. This guy's pretty good, too. I'm not sure he's quite as good as Saquon Barkley, but for their offense, I mean, he's doing just fine. Probably be a lot of points scored in this one. Lines, Ohio State, -3.5. On a neutral field, I would probably say Ohio State's a touchdown better. So this line makes sense to me. Obviously, with the home field advantage, it kind of knocks it down to a field goal. I don't know with this one. Again, kind of like that Texas Tech game. I always like taking the home dogs in college football. So if I were going to play this one, I'd probably go with Penn State, even though it would not surprise me at all. You know, if Ohio State, it was just close all game, and then Ohio State kind of had, you know, a good fourth quarter like they did against TCU, and then won by 10 points. So I could see that happening, but officially I'll go with Penn State getting the 3.5 if I'm going to make a pick on this game. But it should be really good. I mean, these two teams have played some awesome games the last few years, especially since James Franklin had got there. And this will be, you know, play a huge role in the national landscape. Obviously, you know, you have all four of these teams in the Big Ten East, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State all playing each other over the course of the next 2.5 months. So that should be very exciting. It'll shake things up for sure on the national landscape. And then you have the Pac-12 after dark game, BYU-Washington. I mean, not really much to say about this one. BYU coming off that great win over Wisconsin 2 weeks ago. They beat an FCS team last week. Washington hung on to beat the Herm Edwards squad, Arizona State. And this should be a interesting game. Line 17.5. kind of leaned BYU with that, just because it seems like their defense has been pretty good this year. But I don't think I'll make an official selection for that one. So those are, I guess, your main games in terms of kind of other interesting action going on. Let me see here. Yeah, like I mentioned, Duke and Kentucky both ranked. Let's see if they can keep it going. Duke playing Virginia Tech, who obviously we talked about that stunning upset to Old Dominion, and they also lost their quarterback in that game. Josh Jackson will be out for an undetermined amount of time with an ankle, some sort of fracture, so he's not going to play. Kentucky playing South Carolina. Let's see if they can keep their ranking that they earned. Huge game for them to see if they're legit in the SEC. Let's see any of the other early games. People are talking up Syracuse. I don't see it. Yeah, they beat UConn by 30 points. Big shit. I mean, come on, we're terrible. Everyone beats UConn by 30 points. Yeah. That's not an accomplishment these days. But they're going on the road to Clemson. The big news in Clemson today, Kelly Bryant transferring after Dabo Swinney names Trevor Lawrence the full-time starter.
That's big.
So I don't know. Wow. Maybe there's a little drama there. Who knows? But Lawrence definitely is the better quarterback. I mean, that's not a – there's no debate about that. It's just kind of maybe the way he handled it, and who knows. But Kelly Bryant is transferring out of Clemson. So we'll see if that adds any added drama to their game. Let's see what else here. Really nothing else to add unless we want to talk about Rutgers and Indiana. Rutgers got beat by – we had a group text about this, Dave, about taking Buffalo. And Buffalo destroyed them by 30 points. I mean, just a MAC team on the road beats Rutgers by 30 points. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. But why is Rutgers in the Big Ten? Bring them back to the AAC. If UConn has to suffer in the AAC, why should Rutgers – they're losing by 30 to Buffalo. I mean, come on. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
And they're like 21-point underdogs this week to Indiana at home. It's a joke.
That is a joke. They don't belong, man. Indiana's not that great. It's not like they're a great team. They don't have an especially great defense. But that just tells you it all. That tells it all with Rutgers, like how bad that is. That's crazy. I want to just comment on some of these games you talked about. Damn, it went up to 21. I wrote down 17 on Monday.
You're right. I was being a little too over anxious there. Yeah, it's 17. You're right.
Oh, okay. Well, be that as it may, very interesting call. Purdue and Nebraska. That might be. I think there's the fact that Purdue's only giving 3. Maybe that's an accurate line, but maybe there's an overreaction to the way that Purdue beat No, I guess, actually, no. Purdue actually hammered Boston College, so that's kind of a small line. How would you pick that one?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, because one of my theories, or one of the things that, you kind of look at in college football, or even in the NFL, is after just a completely horrible game, you're not going to play like that 2 weeks in a row, and then there's going to be an overreaction one way or the other, like, oh my God, Nebraska is so bad, and oh, look at Purdue. They just beat Boston College, who was a ranked team. They're so good. I think it's a little closer to the middle. I could see Nebraska coming with an upset for this one. But this one's too unpredictable for me. I'm not going to play it. But I think the line is spot on, and I think they're kind of begging you to take Purdue, which would make me lean towards Nebraska if I had to pick it. But like I said, a little too unpredictable for me for both of these teams.
I think that's fair. I think that's you're right. It would be a pretty tough call. On the Ohio State and the big showdown game, I also have Penn State plus 3.5. I love that. Not doing it in picks, that's why I brought it up here. The other games, I do. Notre Dame is part of picks, so I'll get to that later. West Virginia is part of picks, I'll get to that later. I like BYU as well. I will take the points there. It's kind of interesting to take the same point spread 2 weeks in a row, but I feel like BYU will give them a tough game because they did the same thing to Wisconsin. I figure why not the same outcome there? I mean, I think it'll be at least closer than that. So the only one I really want to ask you about, John, and then we'll go to picks. Georgia minus 31.5 against Tennessee. How would you play that one?
Oh my God. Well, I mean, Tennessee, it's either Georgia or nothing.
Yeah.
Tennessee's just looked terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you think maybe they could have put up a fight against Florida last week, and they just fumbled and bumbled their way like Tennessee typically does. And I think Ron called it before the year about Jeremy Pruitt. He's just not. I don't think it's going to work out.
Nah.
But it's either Georgia or nothing for me. I mean, I hate betting a game when you're laying that many points. I mean, Andy calls it like the crockpot game. It just kind of slowly builds up over the course of the game. I just don't like betting or picking spreads that high because it's too unpredictable. But if anything, it's Georgia or nothing in this one for me.
Okay, very good. So with that, we go to the picks, and we will start with Andy's picks. He went 3-1 last week, so let's get them going. And Andy will build on this 3-1 week four with these week five picks. He will take the chance on Syracuse +25 at Clemson for game number one. Game number two, he will agree with John and me. He's going BYU +17.5 at UW. And that'll do it for Andy in week number five. Syracuse +25. And hold the phone. Andy's here right now. Look at that. I just did his picks. That's going to be awkward. All right. Well, anyway, I guess we'll just let's say hello to Andy. Andy, how's it going tonight?
Hey, what's going on? I didn't lose track of time. I just traffic was not going to cooperate. You know, traffic doesn't care who has shows and who doesn't have shows. So here we are.
Here we are indeed. Well, Andy, I think as a courtesy, I would like to have you do the picks that you had on for the week. So I'll let you take it away.
Okay, I got them written down. Are we doing college first?
Yeah, college.
Is that where we are?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fuck, I got them written down somewhere. Because I wrote a couple more. I should probably just go with what I texted you, but we will. Okay, yeah. Let's definitely do the first one. We're going to take Syracuse getting 25 from Clemson. As we all know, Ron and John have both been on the Dino Babin bandwagon since his Bowling Green days. And he has Syracuse rocking and rolling. They've already had a couple signature wins. I don't know if you would count the Florida State game as a signature win because the Florida State looks like they have taken a couple steps back. That whole ACC conference as a whole is one stale pile of poo, in my opinion. So if Syracuse can be the feel-good story of the conference, so be it. And I'm not sure if this whole Clemson quarterback news will, quote-unquote, derail the program or anything like that. Even if this guy was transferring or he wasn't transferring, I would still take Syracuse regardless. I actually wrote Syracuse down ahead of time, even before the Kelly Bryant news. So, again, it feels like way too many points, which might be a trap. But again, Dino, they can score. And so even if Clemson were to hang a big number with 25, you've got window dressing and garbage yardage opportunities. And I think Syracuse can muster enough points to cover this 25. I know Clemson has a great defense, but again, we are rooting for Dino to get the job done. So give me Syracuse +25 for game number one. Game number two, we're going to take another trap, maybe regret it, because we are now 0-3 picking on or against University of Washington. So we need to get off the snide. We're going to go with BYU getting 17.5 up in Seattle. It is the Fox Gus Johnson game, I believe, 8 p.m. in the East Coast, 5 p.m. out here. So I assume that would be Gus Johnson. And this is a Washington team that, in my opinion, they've got a great running back, but they don't really do anything really good. You know, they do okay on offense. They nibble on third down to extend drives. They do just enough on defense to get labeled as a good defensive team. They have gadget plays. You know, Peterson is a gadget guy. Like I said, they they'll create the big turnover. They'll make their opponent do something stupid in a big spot. They nibble. That's why they are. That's why they're nibblers. And this BYU team, I know, like, they were a laughingstock last year. I know every quarterback they have seems to get hurt. They've got, you know, 25-year-old dudes that went on missions to the Philippines or whatever. But and I'm borrowing this from Gary Danielson, who said this to Dog. Like, this year they've got some physical guys on their offensive and defensive lines that could handle these. They can handle their own. That's why they were able to beat Wisconsin, I guess. So, 17.5 points, a lot of points. And going into the season, we would probably have projected a 42-3 game with, you know, Wolf beating the Cougars. But I don't know, something's off with this Washington team. We thought they would be able to handle Herm Edwards last week. When we thought Herm Edwards might have run out of some of his mojo, and they weren't able to pull away from them, and we might see something like that this weekend too. You know, BYU, if they can have some clock-consuming drives, force Washington to, you know, bunk in the red zone, settle for some field goals, I think this could be a close game or closer than 17.5. So, give me BYU getting 17.5. Two very big dogs going against my usual grain in a week. Is it week 5 in college already? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, indeed. Thanks for the pick, Sandy. It'll. It is funny how fast it goes. We're already 1/3 in. That's pretty much the almost half in. That's crazy. So, up next, I'm just gonna do my picks because we're running. I want to just do these really quickly, so let's just get to it. So I did say I was going to have more to say about this game, so let's do it. Game number one, we're going to go West Virginia -3.5 at Texas Tech. I'm just not buying it. I just think, look, that's a great win against Oklahoma State, but I still think that Cliff Kingsbury is a real mongo, and I'm not buying it. And we'll just go with Greer, and West Virginia will give the 3.5 on the road. I know it's a trap, but whatever. I'm going to take West Virginia. I refuse to pick Texas Tech in a game. So we're going to go West Virginia -3.5. Game number one. Game number two, Stanford +5.5 at Notre Dame. I think John raised some good points in our preview about how Stanford does have some real problems. I think that their secondary isn't that good, and their offense has been limited in certain areas, specifically with Bryce Love. I mean, he has looked pretty weak to start the year. But they're making up for it with the Swego Whiteside and their passing game. Pretty good. I think Costello is a pretty decent quarterback. And I just like the talent on the offensive and defensive lines more. I'll give it a chance. Stanford +5.5. At South Bend to go with West Virginia -3.5 in week 5 college football. Up next, let us go to John in Connecticut. John, it's all yours.
All right, Dave, we'll make mine quick this week. Game one, the letdown of all letdowns is Old Dominion playing at East Carolina. Lowly East Carolina, but yet East Carolina is -7. Everyone and their mother will be like, oh, my God, Old Dominion just beat Virginia Tech. They're going to put up another 600 yards at East Carolina. Well, no, that's not how these kind of things happen. East Carolina -7 over Old Dominion for the letdown angle. East Carolina, I mean, we talked about them a little bit before the season started. We were thinking they're going to be one of the worst teams in FBS. You know, the coach would be fired, the whole bit. But they've actually played better this year. After losing to an FCS team the first week, they beat North Carolina. And then last week, they played very close to South Florida in South Florida, which was – and they only gave up 20 points. And for them, I mean, their defense is vastly improved. This is just a terrible spot for Old Dominion. Give me East Carolina -7 for the letdown scenario over Old Dominion. Game two, I was going to take that Southern Miss game against Auburn, but we'll go somewhere else. But that'll be like a bonus pick, Southern Miss plus whatever against Auburn. But for an official selection, we will take Cal. What the line is? Cal +2.5 now at home against Oregon. We talked about the Oregon-Stanford game in length earlier. I just don't see how Oregon's going to recover from this game in 1 week anyway. Maybe by the end of the year they'll get things figured out, but that's still got to be fresh in their minds how they had the game won and just completely pissed it away. And now here they are going on the road against a Cal team that had a bye last week and is ready to go. I like their coach, Wilcox. He's done a great job there with their defense. And I just think they're going to win this game outright. And Oregon's going to have they're going to let that Stanford game beat them twice, basically. We'll go with Cal plus 2.5 in addition to the East Carolina -7 pick, the selections for week 5 in college football.
Thanks for those, John. All right. Now we go to Ron in New Jersey's picks. And here they are for week 5. Ron's going to go with Hawaii -11 at San Jose State. And he will go checker with Dave, West Virginia -3.5 at Texas Tech. So again, Hawaii -11 and West Virginia -3.5 for Ron in New Jersey. Good, good. Now to the guest picks, and they are courtesy of John in Orlando, a.k.a. Yachts. Yahtzee, let's do it. Ready for some college picks?
Yeah, let's go. So you guys kind of already mentioned two games that I looked at, so I'll change one of them just to not be repetitive. I'm with Andy on that Syracuse one. I remember that they beat Clemson last year. I thought they're playing pretty well this year. I know Clemson's Clemson, but 25.5, I was like, well, I think they're going to battle them. But I could also see how that could be a trap, so I was torn. But since Andy picked it, I'll just go to a different game. And I will go with Alabama covering the 40.5 over Lafayette, I believe it is, Louisiana Lafayette. Just because I just have a feeling it's going to be one of those rant. You know, you see these games a lot where some team beats some other team like 70-3 or something like that. So I could see this one being like that. And to me, 48.5 is not enough. They probably won by at least 50. My second game, which John was discussing in a joking matter before, and I was also going to do the same thing about my alma mater, Rutgers. So, again, I've not watched anything, but I do know that they got absolutely destroyed by Kansas at home. I do know that. Ohio State, as they do every year, just completely dismantled them, which, okay, fine, it's Ohio State. But the Kansas game and then the Buffalo game, right? You're in the Big Ten, okay? You cannot get killed by Kansas 55-14. You can't get destroyed by Buffalo 42-13. So I saw that this game was 17.5, I think. And I was like, well, I'm definitely taking Indiana because Indiana at least is competitive in their games, right? And Rutgers, it's like if it was Rutgers versus 11 of us from the board and it was 17.5, I'd probably still take the 11 of us from the board. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So for that reason, I'm taking Andy. I think I have it at -17, not 17.5. But anyway, I don't care what the number was. I'm taking Indiana in that game as my second pick.
Well, that is some very interesting plays, Yachts. Good luck to the picks, and thanks for the picks, and good luck to everybody else for the picks too. My comment on the Alabama game is that Louisiana Lafayette has one of the worst defenses in the history of the sport, so I think that actually has a chance, believe it or not. So we'll see. Now, Andy's an Alabama guy. How would you evaluate that game?
Oh well. I was a big believer in John's theory about Alabama against cream puffs or lower competition in week 2, because you know they always play a marquee game week 1, and then week 2, whether it's like Fresno State last year or Arkansas State this year, whoever it is, like they don't always perform like they do week 1 or week 3. Now this year was different. They were able to destroy Arkansas State, but this might just be a function of the quarterback. I'm not going to fucking kiss Alabama's ass on defense, because we already do that enough. But you know, this year, it's crazy. They haven't gotten any real solid running contributions, but everything basically done by the air. It's a, and if you look year by year historically with Saban teams, like the quarterback, they're really not prolific. They don't put up gaudy Big 12 type statistics, but this year is different with the lefty guy from Hawaii. So that's a lot of points. And so it's, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to touch it. But if there's any addition of Alabama that would cover that margin, it would be, it would obviously be this year's addition. But I don't have Alabama's schedule in front of me, so I'm not sure if they'd be looking ahead to next week or anything like that. But, you know, good luck, Yachts.
All right, so with that, let's go to the NFL. Crowd can't wait. That was the scene, by the way, if you're listening to that. That is what happened in Cleveland on Thursday. Just, I'm very pumped about that game. That was such a giant pile of flaming poo. But it was a fantastic game, regardless of the poo. It was just, it was really good. It was the greatest shitty game ever. It was just such a fun game to watch. It went back and forth. It was close. Cleveland looked like they were completely done in the first half. Then they bring in Baker Mayfield, long overdue. He leads them to victory over the Jets. Truly a fun game to watch. I mean, you know, for all we talk about these teams being terrible, which they are and probably still be, but they ended up giving us a good game on Thursday, and that set the tone for the weekend. A lot of it's fun, some surprises, and major disappointment on the part of the Minnesota Vikings, who, after tying with Green Bay, go home in a game that, again, I don't think that people should have laid the points on this game. That was a huge mistake. I noticed that nearly 70% of bets were on the Vikings minus 17. I'm like, what are you thinking? Like, this is the NFL. A team can have a bad game, and all of a sudden, even the worst teams in the NFL can come out and they can sneak up on you. Well, the Bills didn't just sneak up on the Vikings. They went out and absolutely humiliated them by, what was it, 21 points? Just unbelievable. Like, it's like, I felt very confident about the 16.5, even though I know Tommy was laughing at me about it, but I just said, hey, you know what? It's just too many points. That was my only argument. I'd be like, well, the Bills aren't good, and they're not, but they played hard, and I think they wanted this game. And the Vikings, once they just started going downhill, they quit. They're done. So that's my look at it. Anyway, there's a lot to talk about here. Steelers were lucky to win on Monday night, but it was a fun game anyway against Fitzmagic. And the magic has stopped because he threw three interceptions in the game. Andy's Patriots not looking too hot on the offense in Detroit. Detroit went out and they beat them pretty convincingly. Very fun game between the Falcons and the Saints. And Andy called that. He was going with the Saints, and the Saints won in overtime. Packers looked pretty, had a pretty rough game in Washington. I don't have much to say because I didn't really watch that one. Niners lose Jimmy Garoppolo for the season due to an ACL tear, and their defense looked pretty bad anyway against Kansas City. That was a rough day. That was a rough week for San Francisco. Chargers doing what they do. Not to have more in that game. Rams do look really good, and it's going to be exciting to go to the Coliseum to see them tomorrow against the Vikings. So more on that coming up. But let's get to the recap. We'll start with John. I mean, it's just so much to unpack here with the NFL in week number three. Your thoughts on the weekend?
Yeah, when you look at the Packers and the Vikings, it was kind of a they almost tired themselves out by playing that emotional, it's an emotional division game that went to overtime, and they left it all out against each other, and then they both completely come out flat the next week. And, I wasn't surprised to see the Packers kind of lay an egg like that. I wasn't expecting it. I mean, I thought they could, even with the slow start, come back and win. But, if you had told me before the game that they were going to lose, I would not have been surprised. Now, they made Adrian Peterson look like it was 2012 again, which made me kind of angry. But, it happens. I mean, it was a bad weather day. The receivers are dropping passes all over the field. There's a number of penalties. That one penalty on Clay Matthews, again, was complete bullshit for roughing the passer. You guys probably saw the clip. I don't know what he's supposed to do. Like he's like the NFL rule book is just mentally broken. This guy, like, yeah. He's so afraid to tackle a quarterback.
It is such horseshit. I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's awful. On Monday night, there was like 4 in the first half. And, you know, of course, you know, they got Booger McFarland talking about everything else under the sun, but whatever. We digress with that. But, yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's a rough – I was kind of mad as the game was going on with Green Bay, but then I realized what the Bills were doing to the Vikings. So I was like, all right, you know what, it's a mulligan week. But, yeah, the Vikings, it was just one of those things where they thought they could literally show up and play. And, you know, and that might work in college football sometimes, but in the NFL – I mean, the other guys are getting paid, too. And, you know, credit to the Bills for being ready to play. Josh Allen had a great game. So, you know, kudos to them. And the Vikings could be off to a 1-2-1 start if they were if they lose tomorrow night in L.A. The Niners, big loss there with Jimmy G going down. Their season's pretty much over. I don't have much confidence in the C.J. Beathard. We'll see. Maybe Kyle Shanahan coached him up from year one to year two, but I doubt it. But I guess the bigger story is Patrick Mahomes continues to just be red hot and throws another 3 touchdowns, just throwing the ball all over the field. Now, you know, maybe we'll take it for with a grain of salt because last year the Chiefs started, 6-7-0, and, you know, Alex Smith was the MVP, and, you know, they kind of came down to earth after that, but obviously, Mahomes looks like a more, you know, physically talented player than Smith. But we'll see if the league kind of catches up to this offense going forward. I don't expect much resistance from the Broncos this week, but maybe coming up, I thought they had the Jags on the schedule. That'll be an interesting game in a couple weeks. That Saints-Falcons game was pretty exciting. I guess Andy picked it, so we'll let him delve into that. The biggest disgrace in the NFL so far this year is the Houston Texans. I mean, how bad is this team? You let the corpse of Eli Manning go in there and throw 25 of 29 for, you know, how many ever yards and just win in your building. I mean, Bill O'Brien has got to be good odds for one of the first coaches fired. And Deshaun Watson is completely healthy, and they look awful. So I don't know what's going on there. That's just a disgrace of a team at the moment. The Bears got a win on the road. I don't think Trubisky's any good. They're pretty much winning games with their defense at this point. That'll be their kind of calling card throughout the year. And the Cowboys are just awful. Dak Prescott, I mean, you know, the league has kind of figured him out. He's not very good. And the Seahawks had a nice home win. Maybe they can salvage something. They had a rough opening 2 weeks, but they always seem to play well at home, and they did that again against the Cowboys and got a win. And, yeah, the Monday night game, Dave, yeah, your Steelers are quite dysfunctional, but they're entertaining, that's for sure. I almost thought that Fitzmagic was going to come through there in the fourth quarter, but he didn't. And the Steelers get the much-needed win, but who knows? It's a complete circus with them day to day. It's just crazy. I don't know how they're going to handle this throughout the rest of the year, with this week-to-week drama. But, it's good for the hot takes and the talking heads, that's for sure. So we'll see what they can do this weekend against the Ravens on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and I thought in the beginning of the season that this was an unnecessary Sunday night game, but I'm looking at it now, and it actually might be a pretty good matchup and with decent implications because both teams need to get back on track, I think. What is Baltimore's record right now? Is it like 2-1, I think? I didn't check, but...
Yeah, 2-1.
Okay, so, you know, it's a good rebound opportunity for the Steelers to beat the Ravens and get themselves at least, what would that be at that point? 2-1-1, I think. So, yeah, that would be good. Be a good play to rebound. So, we'll see about that. Now, let's go to Yachts, and let's get your recap of last week's action. I know you were in the building for the Chargers-Rams game. Let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, so... Just touching on that game specifically. To your point before, you started off by saying the Chargers did what they do, but actually they really haven't been this year. The two games they lost, you never really thought they were going to win either one of them, and then the game that they won against Buffalo, you never thought they were going to lose. So they actually have not really been chargering that much this year. What they have been doing that's really annoying me is that their defense is just god awful. And if I was Joey Bosa, I'd hold out because, you know, one guy is out, and it just, you know, I saw a tweet today about people complaining about the roughing the passer rule, and it was a tweet from a Charger fan that I follow, and he's like, they are? I wouldn't know. We never get to the quarterback. Who would even know that there was such a problem? And I'm like, that's a perfect tweet. And, you know, so, like, again, Bosa's out. Granted, huge guy to be missing out of your lineup, but they're just so bad. And the thing I was noticing in that Ram game, so there was zero pass rush. So when you have zero pass rush, you think, okay, well, they're probably covering the receivers. Nope. All the receivers are wide open. So it's like, what are they doing out there? And I noticed the same thing in the Buffalo game. And people, I didn't see a lot of people mentioning this because they were like, oh, the Chargers will kill Buffalo because they stink. And Josh Allen, what is he? Blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling you, I noticed about four or five plays in that game where Buffalo wide receivers were wide open and Allen just missed the throw. A good team is not going to miss the throw. So to me, that's just terrible defense, and it's been terrible for 3 years or three weeks. I thought at the beginning of the year on paper they had a good chance to win the division because I'm like, okay, Alex Smith is gone. We don't really know what Mahomes is at this point. Oakland's kind of a down team, I think. And Denver, you know, is Case Keenum going to do what he did in Minnesota? Well, Patrick Mahomes is the next Marino and Unitas combined. So that was pretty much, you know, that theory of mine was proven wrong pretty quickly. So they, you know, if they have any chance to win the division, they better win this week. But this week to me has chargering all over it. I mean, it's a big spread. Garoppolo's out. Of, you know, on paper, oh, the Chargers will win, no problem. And then there's me sitting there going, okay, this is the perfect time for them to lay an egg. But anyway, as far as the rest of the league goes on, or as far as the rest of the league goes from last week, obviously that Buffalo game was big. That Browns game, I did see the way that they won at the end. And Mayfield, I mean, you know, how do you take the job away from him at this point? He actually won a game for that team. So I think that's just what you have to do going forward. The Texans are a complete mess. I agree with John on that. You know what? In the game, I don't think you guys mentioned, which I didn't see, but because I was in the building, but I did notice the score was that Tennessee beating Jacksonville in Jacksonville, 9-6. I mean, that's a pretty good win for the Titans.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of impressed with that. And let's see, the Lion game. I mean, that one, you know, it's just funny how people overreact, right? Like Matt Patricia lost the team. It was the worst hire ever. And then they go in week three and then they kill New England. Well, did he lose the team? You know, there's my question for that. Was it the worst hire ever? It's the way people react is just absolutely insane. And I would put the Bills in the same category. Not saying that the Bills are good, but it's like, okay, they're going to go 0-16 this year because they lost the first two games of the season. Oh, that means they're automatically going to be 0-16. Well, okay, they went to Minnesota and it wasn't even a game. So.
Oh, there you go. So there it is from Yachts. Let's go to Andy for his thoughts on week number three.
All right, yeah. Quickly, I before I ramble about the week, I had a question for John, who was at the game in the Coliseum. Did you have a problem with the Chargers kicking a field goal with about 11 minutes left from, I don't know, I think
yeah,
it was like
I know what you're,
third
I know
goal.
What you're talking about. Yeah, I mean, here's my thing on that. I could understand why one would have a problem with it, and yeah, I mean, at the time, I'm like, okay. But they weren't stopping anybody in that game. To me, I don't even think it mattered. The defense is so bad. They didn't prove except for one drive that they could do anything against them. And so I understand why people would hate that coaching decision, and I don't disagree with that thought. I just don't think it would have mattered.
I got you. Yeah, because like I'm not, you know how pitch and catch is weird with like things like that. He's always like, you don't always have to go for two or whatever like that. But in that instance, like, you're still down two scores. But yeah, I don't know. As someone who has the Chargers, I had the Rams in one scenario, and then I ended up taking the Chargers. I was all over the place with the picks, but I don't know.
Yeah,
the Rams
I get the point, because it would have been, they were down 12 instead of being down 15. So, you know, I could understand why someone might, like, why someone like pitch and catch may not think it was the worst thing ever. And again, I don't even get that far, because I really don't think it would have mattered, because that's just how bad they looked on D.
I got you. Always the voice of reason. Unlike me, just reacts. But yeah, it was a entertaining week, both in college and the NFL. The Patriots game, that bothered me. I had drank a handful of beers that afternoon, and I just had a lot of heartburn that night, and the game didn't help. It was like, the Patriots went 3-and-out 3 times in a row. The second series bothered me because the third down play was like, it was really close. You know, the timing was just slightly off, but that's the NFL for you. And, you know, Detroit just had some long, methodical drives. It was a little troubling. They couldn't run the ball well. They couldn't throw the ball well. Stafford was able to dink and dunk. Blount and the kid from Auburn were able to just gash through the Patriots' defense. Now, listen, I know some people will be like, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's something rotten in Foxborough. The Patriots are going to go 4-12. And the other line of thinking is, well, you know, it's only September. Bill treats the first 4 games of the year like it's August. Just be calm. Something's going to happen in between. You know, let's, to borrow Mike's talk to me in X month, let's revisit the Patriots in the middle of October. I think we'll learn a little bit more about them. But it is a little concerning when they literally had 3 receivers dressed on Sunday: Dorsett, Patterson, and Hogan. And, you know, you could have Brett Favre in his prime, and if he doesn't have anyone to throw to, well, you're not always going to be able to have 300-yard games with 4 touchdowns. And a lot of Patriot fans are ready to just, like, dump Sonny Michel at the nearest parking lot. But I still think Michel could be a good pro. I mean, he was really good at Georgia. Let the kid breathe. It's early. But the game against Miami is going to be a big game. I mean, who would have thought? But it's a crazy – it's been – you know, we say this every year. It's a crazy year. But, I mean, that's the NFL for you. Like, what do we know? We know the Cardinals are probably going to be really bad, and we know the Rams are really good, and we know the Chiefs have started really well. And everything else is kind of in between. That Falcons-Saints game, that's NFC South to a nutshell. Like, would anyone have been shocked if that game ended in a tie because both coaches were just being complete clowns? Entertaining clowns, though. That was an exciting game. You know, I can't believe the 2 Falcon defenders couldn't tackle a spinning breeze at the end of the game, but so be it. And then the Falcons-Bengals game, or not Falcons, the Panthers-Bengals game. Dalton threw 4 interceptions, and yet the Panthers still couldn't put them away, because that's Ron Rivera for you. When he's riverboat, and when he's tight, he's tighter than Cardwell. It's got to be, you got to be worried when you take the Panthers giving points, because they love taking the air out of their own ball. Do you guys hit the nail on the head with that Steeler game? I mean, very entertaining game. If you had the Steelers, you were angry, hanging on for dear life. You know, Fitzpatrick magic was starting to percolate in the second half. And then when you needed Ben to get a couple first downs, he got a couple first downs. You know, not a lot of quarterbacks can make that last throw that he made, when he's basically running in one direction, thrown in the other direction, with two guys chasing him, and he gets the job done. You know, he's not the nicest guy in the world, but he is a talented quarterback. And then Green Bay, Washington, that was an interesting result, not going to lie. That Minnesota game, you guys touched on it. Like, I don't know if, the fact that Buffalo was able to get two possessions basically in the short field. I think Cousins turned the ball over very quickly in the first quarter, deep in their own territory. I mean, that just set that game up for a tee for them. But, yeah, week to week, some crazy stuff happens. I still insist that Brown Jet game was a nightmare, and I can't believe the Browns actually did it. I know I'm a bully for rooting against the Browns, but I had no idea about these Bud Light lockers. That's how much of a clown I've been. I had no idea what that was. So call me Santoro from that standpoint. And then one last thing. I'm trying to remember which game I'm trying to think about. The Giants. No. The Houston. That's more of the Giants are back. The Texans aren't terrible. That's just the Giants putting the league back on notice that they're ready to go. The offensive line has gelled. Eli Manning is chugging from the fountain of youth. Barkley's going to be Jim Brown reincarnate. Beckham's going to get his touches. This team is back. No, I'm just kidding. Like, God, the Giants. For once, that offense didn't look like just a complete train wreck. And yeah, that probably speaks more about how dysfunctional the Texans are. So I guess we'll see what happens. We set our sights to week four.
Yep. Week four coming up, and in week four, some pretty nice games. I mentioned Thursday night game, Vikings at Rams. I don't think the Vikings are going to be that bad this time. And Dalvin Cook will play this game. He did not play in the game against Buffalo. So good note there. A pretty underrated game on Sunday, Cincinnati at Atlanta. I think the Bengals, as much as I make fun of them, I think they're a decent team, and the Falcons will try to rebound from their loss against the Saints. So that one could be a sneaky good game. We'll keep an eye on that one. Similar scenario for Ravens and Steelers. I mean, I didn't think it was going to be much of a game in the beginning when the season started, but now I think it's going to be a very important game for both teams because it can establish pace in the division. Currently, the Bengals have the lead, and further, just the Steelers just trying to get back above 500. I think this will be a big, big possibility for them. So a lot of potential with that game, and that's about it. There's the Chiefs, Denver. I don't know if that's going to be good or not. It may surprise us, but after having a run of incredible games on Monday Night Football, this might be the first one that ends up being pretty, pretty weak. So that's what we have for week four in the NFL. Let's go to the picks, and I'll just do mine really quickly just to get them going, get them right out of the way. Here we go. Game number one for week four in the NFL. We're going to take a chance. We're going to go with the Vikings. And you know what? The Vikings, I still think, are one of the top three teams in the NFC. I really do. I think their defense hasn't looked very good this year so far. I get it. But it's not that bad. I mean, I really think they've just been off. I think they've just... Maybe they've started to believe their own press. But now that they've lost the game in humiliating fashion, they're going to come out of this thing much more fired up. And they're going to try to beat the Rams, as they did last year. But that time it was at Minneapolis. This time we're in L.A. It'll be fun. Vikings +7 at the Rams. I think it'll be a close game. I don't necessarily know if they're going to win, but I think they're going to keep it inside the 7. Game number 2. I will take the Jets +7.5 at the Jaguars. I mean, when you see the Jaguars come off the game against New England and then lose to Tennessee 9-6, it doesn't really give you much confidence for them to cover an entire touchdown at home against anybody. But especially the Jets are no different from that because the Jets' defense is still pretty good. I mean, I think people are quitting on the Jets too much. They're like, did you guys see this on Twitter? People are like, oh, the Jets made a mistake. They should have taken Mayfield. Like, guys, calm down. It's like you forgot completely about the Monday game in week one. It's like they're not that bad. They're not that good, but they're not that bad. So we're going to go Jets plus 7.5, game number 2. So again, Vikings plus 7, Jets plus 7.5 for me in week number 4, NFL. Okay, so let's go to you, Andy, and let's get your week 4 NFL picks.
Oh, thanks, Dave. You know, I'm going to go head-to-head with you on this one. I'm gonna take the Rams. You say the line was 7. I think you said 7, right?
Yeah, 7 points, yep.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down. And listen, I know there's going to be a time where the Rams don't cover this year. I feel like this is a game where the two head coaches are be arguably labeled as delicate geniuses, but I think McVay, like, he at least can, like, have a sense of humor. Zimmer, he kind of oozes a little Bryson DeChambeau. Like, he just, like, he's delicate genius to a fault. And his quirkiness is almost borders on the edge of stubbornness. And, yeah, like you said, like, they laid an egg against the Bills. And obviously the best recipe to erase the egg out of your head would be to just forget about it and move on. And I think the last team they would want to play in the scenario is a team like the Rams, because the Rams, as we mentioned just now, well-oiled machine. I mean, if you take away their little boo-boo last year home against the Saints in the playoff game, like, that might have just been their little learning moment. But, like, last year plus this early start to the year, they've just been just, you know, close to perfect as you can get when you combine offense, defense, and special teams. I mean, Goff has so many weapons around him. The guys that they've added on defense, people thought they might have been, like, a chemistry issue or they might not mesh, but that doesn't seem to have any sort of validity. We'll see how it goes when the year plans out. But I think you're asking a lot for Minnesota to dust themselves off and go halfway across the country in such short notice and play a team that is just well conditioned right now, like the Rams. As we've also mentioned earlier, like, they don't ease up. Like, you know, I don't think there's any such thing as running up the score in the NFL, because it's professionals and we're all adults, and they don't, you know, they play, they don't substitute, they don't just run up the middle when the score is quote unquote out of hand. They run their offense, so that's why they've been able to cover some of these games. So yeah, I think the Vikings will eventually figure it out. But I think Dalvin Cook's still a little gimpy. You know, Cousins could be a little shaky. Could throw some picks against a very opportunistic defensive team like the Rams. Gurley's going to have a good game. I just like the Rams in this one. So give me the Rams minus 7. Game number 2. I will take I will take the Saints off the program, but I'm not going to use it as a pick. I'll take Seattle minus 3. I know they've burnt me in the past. They'll burn me again. Hopefully they won't burn me this week, though. But they're going on the road at Arizona. I think Rosen's playing. And, you know, with Earl Thomas back, you know, the Seattle defense, it's no longer the Legion of Boom, clearly. But as bad as they looked week 1 and 2, as bad as Wilson protection has been from an offensive line standpoint, as bad as their running production has been, Arizona's that much worse, in my opinion. And like John alluded to, you know, they started off 0-2, but now they're entering a part of their schedule where they have a chance. They have no one to blame but themselves if they don't, but they have a chance to get some of their equilibrium back, because they won last week. If they take care of business this week against Arizona, and I think next week is the game in London against a very, very sketchy Raider team, then they could maybe salvage something with their season. But first, take care of business against a Arizona team that very decrepit. I know they had a hot start against the Bears last week, but they did nothing after that. Rosen, very inexperienced. You know, you're only giving three. If Seattle is just takes care of the ball, doesn't beat themselves up, they should be able to leave Arizona with a road win. You know, don't forget, they did look pretty good against Denver week one until the fourth quarter. The Bear game was an absolute disaster. Now, I think Seattle's a solid C-minus team, and the C-minus team better take care of their business on the road against Arizona. So give me the Seahawks giving three to complement Rams minus seven week four NFL.
Thanks for the picks, Andy. Let's now go to John in Connecticut. And John, we're ready for your week number four NFL picks.
All right, Dave. We'll start off similar angles to kind of what I just talked about the Packers and Bears. Packers and Vikings going through that emotional overtime game and then coming out flat the next week. Same kind of thing here with the Falcons and the Saints. Just went through the same thing. And now I'm going to go against the Falcons. I'm going to take the Bengals getting 4.5 points. Same kind of letdown angle here. The Bengals were very much in that game, as Andy mentioned in the recap. And he's had a pretty good year. The Bengals' offense has been pretty solid. The Falcons' defense is just completely riddled by injuries. Keanu Neal, Deion Jones, Ricardo Allen, all out for the year. It's a mash unit at this point, and I think the Bengals are going to take advantage of that. Doesn't matter if Joe Mixon is or doesn't play. He might be coming back this week. Gio Bernard's been a pretty good fill-in. Still got A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd. I think this will be a pretty high-scoring game. So I think the over will hit on this one, too. But I can just see this kind of, being like a 31-28 kind of game. You know, maybe the Bengals being on top. But I do think there is a little bit of a letdown factor as well with the Falcons playing that emotional division game. And now here they are playing an out-of-conference opponent who is, they're a decent team. I'm going to say the Bengals, we kind of laughed at them coming. But I think they could be like possibly a wild card team from what I've seen so far. And I think the 4.5 points is a little bit too many. So we'll go Bengals plus 4.5 on this one. And then game two, I actually hate the fact that the line is only one, because, and I'm talking about the Colts minus one over the Texans. I wish this line was three, because minus one is just, it looks like such a trap to take the Colts. But like we mentioned before, the Texans, there's something going on here. They're just completely unprepared every week, and they have to try to make these huge comebacks, and it's just not working out for them on offense, defense, or special teams. I mean, there's supposed to vaunted defensive line can't do anything. Watson's had his stats are decent, but if you watch the games, I mean, it's a lot of garbage time. I just don't like the way they started the year, and the fact that the line is only one is a little scary. And they're not going to go 0-16, so they're going to win at some point, but you just can't bet on the way they're playing right now. And the Colts have, they're 1-2, but they're surprisingly, their defense has played great. I mean, they had a number of turnovers against the Eagles last week and could have won that game. I guess the one thing to take from that was when, they had to throw a Hail Mary 50 yards and Andrew Luck couldn't do it, so they had to bring in Jacoby Brissett. Their offense is more of a kind of dink and dunk precision kind of offense. But again, this bet is just basically against the Texans, and you're only, giving one at home. The Colts have been usually pretty good at home under Andrew Luck, so we'll bet against the Texans one more week. If they win this week, then we'll kind of reevaluate. But for now, we'll just keep fading them until they show you something. So Colts minus one and Bengals plus 4.5, the picks for NFL week number four.
Good stuff. Thanks again, John, and we will see how those picks do. As we do that, let's get to Ron in New Jersey's picks, and they are as follows. Here we go. Ron will start with the Patriots giving 7 points at home against the Dolphins for game number one. For game number two, he was going to go with the Titans plus four against the Eagles. That, to me, is a bold pick. So to repeat for Ron in New Jersey, Patriots minus seven and Titans plus four. Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. The Eagles have looked pretty shaky to start. That's an interesting call. I mean, they really haven't looked that great. They won against the Colts, but they look shaky. Yeah. So that's very... I don't think that's a terrible pick. So We'll see how it goes. Good luck to Ron's picks. And now let's go to John in Orlando. Goodness. Have you been to Disney World since you moved there, John? That's a stupid question, but
I had a friend of mine visit with his family, so I went to Epcot once with him. But that said, another one came and we went to eat dinner at a Disney steakhouse, but not Disney in the park. My thing is I don't like rides. I get motion sickness. So for me, places like that are kind of lost on me. Yeah. And then when you tell me I have to pay all that money to get in to do stuff that I don't do, the motivation is kind of low. But if, you know, the reason I would go in there is like people came and they were in town, and I'd say, okay, yeah, I'll go hang out with you for the day or whatever.
Right.
But on my own, I would never do it.
What would be the odds, guys, of John one day, or Yachts one day, running into Petey at Disney World and during one of his trips?
Well, I don't talk to Petey, so I doubt he's going to tell me that he's coming and he'd want to meet. I mean, that I don't foresee happening.
Yeah. Nah, don't worry. He'll be plenty occupied. That's no problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so John, let's go and get your picks, Mr. Yachts.
Before I do that, real quick, did you happen to notice the Rockies were winning 10-0?
Yes, absolutely.
So I didn't know if you saw that or not.
I did. But, boy, the Phillies are really laying down in this season.
Phillies are done.
What a joke! Jesus Christ! But anyway, I did notice that.
So first game, I'll go the opposite of Ron, and I understand why he likes the Patriots, because this could be that trap. It's like, the Patriots aren't playing too well, so let's take the Dolphins, and then this is the week that they put it all together and remind everybody that they're still the Patriots, which I'm not saying that they aren't. They very may well still be the Patriots, and until proven otherwise to me, they are. But I just think it's a big number. I mean, number one, it's a division game. Number two, Miami's hot right now, and they look good doing it, right? I don't think it's like, oh, they've somehow won three games. I mean, I think Ryan Tannehill's playing well. I like the way their defense is played. So I think it's kind of – and the Patriots, you know, the one win they had was against the Texans, which at the time you're like, okay, it was week one, but 3 weeks into the season, the Texans, you know, they look like one of the worst teams in football. So – and then they lost to – they were non-competitive to a Lion team that got absolutely destroyed by the Jets, right? So you can play with numbers all night long. But because of the time – you know, Miami's hot. The Patriots are not. I don't necessarily think the Patriots are going to lose the game, but I do think 7 is a high number, so I'll take Miami. And the similar logic is the game involving my team, where it's 10.5, and I could, you know, I get accused, and rightfully so, of being very negative about my own team, because I just think they're awful all the time, and sometimes people have to calm me down somewhat. But to me, 10.5 is a big number, and I know it's C.J. Beathard, and I know the Niners were awful last year when he was the quarterback. They were 0-9, I think, or maybe even 0-10. And then Garoppolo took over. And the Chargers, you know, to their credit, they've played well when they've faced quarterbacks that haven't really played, although because Beathard now hasn't played in a while. But their defense, to me, I can't say it enough, and I probably already have said it enough, but they just look so terrible. So you're telling me that they're going to win by 10.5? I don't know. Can they put any pressure on C.J. Beathard? Are they better? The counter to my point is that, well, look at their two losses. It's to Kansas City and the Rams, and you could make an argument those are the top, you know, two of the top five teams in football, and you could probably make a strong argument with that. And they did beat Buffalo. And you know what? The Chargers' backs are up against the wall. If they really want to be taken seriously, you cannot lose at home to the Niners, which it's not really at home, right? It's going to be all Niners fans in LA.
Yeah.
But So it's so you always take anytime you see a Chargers at home, it isn't home. They have zero home games. So I advise people to always consider that. But anyway, so I hope I'm wrong, because to me this is an absolute must-win game. They're two back of Kansas City, 2.5 if you count, because they played each other already. But I'm taking the Niners. I'm going to stay positive and think that the Chargers are going to win. I just hate the number. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for the picks, John. And that's going to do it for week number 5 picks and week 4 of the NFL picks. So it should be... Yeah, I don't see a lot of great games in the NFL this weekend, but we do have a couple of good ones. Like, I think we ran those down pretty well. So good luck to the picks, everybody, and hope they go well. Time for final thoughts, and why don't we start with our friend John in Connecticut. John.
Yeah, it should be an interesting week. You got a couple great college matchups on Saturday night that we talked about, and, you know, the NFL is always interesting. You know, the witching hour never fails to disappoint in some decent primetime games, so it should be fun. And you have the Ryder Cup this weekend, too, so if you want to get up early and watch some golf, I will not mention what happened last weekend at the Tour Championship, but good for that gentleman that got his 80th win. It was bound to happen at some point. But should be interesting. NBC with the live coverage, so good job out of them. I know they've done tape delay in the past, which is a joke. I mean, they might replay it later on in the morning or the day, but you can't get the live golf, which will be fun in France. So. A great weekend of sports, and should enjoy it.
I like it. Good times, John. Andy, final thoughts.
Yeah, I am into the Ryder Cup. I will be rooting for Europe in some form, some shape, way, or form. I want to hear Mike pronounce Thorbjørn Olesen. There are some characters on Team USA that makes them impossible to root for. Maybe have to do with Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson and Bryson DeChambeau. But I do love DJ, and I do like Koepka. I like some of those other guys. I just hope we get a lot of juice. I'll be into that. I'll be into these NL races. I'm into the NL races right now. It'd be funny to get some chaos on Monday where maybe the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Rockies are all tied. You can't predict baseball. You can try. You know, the Cubs can't. You know, someone like Jay Hoff, or, you know, if they're the captain version of the Cubs fan, he'd be like, how can you lose to Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh's got nothing to play for. How can you lose to Pittsburgh at home? Stuff like that. But lo and behold, they just blew a lead in the ninth inning. So you just have to take care of business. These NL races they are literally coming down to the last day. I can't get enough of it. I'm into it. And I don't even have I don't even have a horse in the race. I'm just betting and watching it for giggles. And since I missed the college football special, I will say that Oregon-Stanford game, I mean, that is the tortoise and hare fable just reincarnated. David Shaw is the tortoise. He drives you nuts. He's going to do it his way and only his way. And it happened. Congratulations to David Shaw. I will probably bet him again this weekend against Brian Kelly. Call me crazy, but I will do that. And then that Army-Buffalo game, that is a sneaky good game. Call me a deadbeat clown. That, you know, Tommy would probably be like, why would you waste that any time watching that game? But I'll probably be on the couch at 9 a.m. watching the end of the Ryder Cup and tuning into that Army-Buffalo game. Because why not?
Yeah. Tom, Andy, one more thing I want to ask you. With the NL playoff race, and there is a genuine chance that six teams could be tied with the same record. That is insanity. Six teams. They're the top seed to the second wild card, all could be tied. But there are six teams playing for 5 playoff races. Cubs, Braves, Dodgers, Brewers, Rockies, and Cardinals. Which of those teams is going to be the odd team out?
The Cardinals seem to be kind of fading away into the night, if you ask me. And that's probably my personal
bias seeping into my thoughts, because I hate the NL Central to begin with. You know, if I had to rank teams from boring to most exciting, it would, you know, all those teams are boring: Brewers, Cardinals, and the Cubs. But the Cardinals, I find the Cardinals to be the most boring, nameless and faceless.
Yeah, really, really. So this year, absolutely. Good call. Okay, so now I'll give you the same question, Yachts, and then I'll give it to you for final thoughts.
What's the question?
The question about the NL teams, like which of those six teams is going to be the one sitting at home after this weekend with no playoffs?
You know, I don't know. it's such a daily thing that you know. It's so hard to figure. The Rockies have been so hot, right? And the Dodgers have been playing well. So my gut's kind of telling me that they'll both seem to find a way in. I think the Brewers are pretty safe. So I'll just say the Cardinals, but I'm not really that confident in that pick.
It's probably going to be between those two teams. But the second question, which we probably won't have time to get to the second part of this, which is basically who's going to have the top seed in the NL? And that's up in the air, too. The Brewers actually have, which is insane to say this, because they're in the wild.
Right. They're card? They're right. Yeah. They're tops in the wild card, and they're pretty safe in that regard, but they're neck and neck with the Cubs. So,
Yeah, it could be.
The Brewers officially clinched the playoff tonight, one way or the other, because they were dancing and stuff.
Yep, that's true. I have to agree though. The Cubs' offense has not looked good at all the last like 3 weeks. They it's kind of disappointing. I mean, I wouldn't say that the Pittsburgh Pirates have a great pitching staff, and they look limp some of these nights. Now I noticed they tied the game. It's like 6-6 now, but most of this week they just haven't really had the kind of consistency on offense, so I'm not really sure what to think of them, and yet they might end up with the best record in the National League. So it's just, that's a tough call too. I don't know how that's going to end, so we will see. All right, thanks for all those thoughts, guys, and let's see. Yeah, it's final thoughts.
And just to continue on with the baseball, I mean, for my own personal rooting interest, I do want the Yankees to host that game, because the last thing I want to do is have them be forced to fly out to Oakland. So that's still up in the air. I mean, they lost tonight. I think last time I checked, Oakland was tied with Seattle. I don't know if that's changed. So what version of the Red Sox are the Yankees going to play this weekend? I mean, I would think the Red Sox are just, they don't want anybody injured. So I don't know. But then there's also the, what Andy said before, which is true. Like, it's hard to predict baseball. It's like you can see bad teams can beat good teams any game, and you don't even bat an eyelash at it.
Yeah.
So, and then Oakland plays the Angels, I believe. So, you know, I'd rather not have to fly to Oakland, but we shall see. Football. Yeah, again, my main concern, as you know, is that Niner game. I already talked about it, so I don't need to repeat myself there. And I will say, I'll finish by saying two words. Tony Pease.
Yeah, Tony Pease. Yeah. That was beautiful. I love Tony Pease. So, you know, if you guys haven't been there, it's in Marina Del Rey. It is a fun place to be. It's got all the games, good food, good beer, good drinks. I love it. All right, well, that's a good one to end on, guys. Enjoy the games. That's going to be a fun call at Saturday. I mean, I think that I'm really looking forward to Ohio State-Penn State. John's right on that. It's going to be a great game. So good luck to the picks. Take care, guys. Good luck. And good luck to the, yeah, I said that. Take care, guys. Good luck to the picks, and have a great weekend. We'll catch up again next week.
All right, thanks. Good show.
All right, thanks, Dave. See ya.
Thanks,
take
fellas.
Care, guys.
Thanks, fellas. All right, that's our program tonight. And a reminder, we are going to have an MLB postseason preview late Monday night. Jerry and Cap are scheduled for that one. Oh, Cap and Ari, a.k.a. Fiddle, are scheduled for that one. So join us for that here on the feed, DidCow.com, or the DidCow podcast page on Apple Podcasts. I'm Dave Medina. You can follow us at DidCow on Twitter, too, or on Facebook. We'll see you next time.